Riverside.
Welcome to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. This is volume 2025, episode number 42. Our air date is Thursday, October 16th, 2025. I'm your host, C. Willie, joined again this week by the incomparable
Butter Peep.
She's got her Wednesday preview on, kind of taking us into that Halloween thing. I don't know if she's going to do the Wednesday dance tonight while we're listening to our guest songs, but we will find out. We are very blessed to be joined tonight by our special guest, Chuck Briseño. Chuck, welcome to the show.
Hey, how's it going? Thanks for having me on.
Well, we're excited about this. Chuck's our Southwest middle of the country. You're in Springfield, Missouri right now, correct?
Missouri, yeah.
So Missouri. But born and raised in the great state of Texas. You're Texas.
George West.
George West. So tell us a little bit about that and kind of what were your influences. What got you into playing music?
Man, so growing up in George West is South Texas. A lot of people ask, well, what part of South Texas? And I'm just like, well, it's between San Antonio and Corpus. Okay. And I think one of the things you get in that area, and especially growing up, you know, I'm a Hispanic guy. I grew up with me and my grandparents. You know, they listened to Tejano music. Mm-hmm. And a lot of my friends growing up listened to everything, you know. So in school, we would play, you know, like at baseball games, we'd play like the Pat Green Live at Green Hall record, right? And that's like, I can put that on. And when you hear, you know, me and Billy the Kid, you know, like it takes me right back to batting practice. You know what I mean? So there's stuff like that. I think that shows a lot of my songs. And there's been some really cool things that have happened that have shaped my, I guess, my influences. Kind of a crazy one. I'll tell you a crazy one. So I was like 12 years old, and they have this thing called the Story Fest, and it's, they don't do it anymore, but they did it for a long time in George West, and they'd have, it was like the story, they called it the storytelling capital of the United States or the world or whatever they wanted to call it, and it was a really cool event, and you could go, and they had all these vendors and stuff set up. Well, they had a, you know, those wheels that have all the nails and you can spin it.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh, and it lands on a number, you win a prize or whatever. So I paid a dollar or whatever it was, and I spun the wheel, and I won a CD. And I took it home, and I was like, what is this, like, CD? You know, like, I didn't really know who this was. I don't even know where they got it from, why the CD was even there. Because the band was out of Austin, and it was kind of like a grunge rock, pop rock, way ahead of their time, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. As a band called Push Monkey. Okay. And like, okay, if you listen to their, go, if, I'm telling you, when you're done with this, put on the Push Monkey, the original album. It is pretty awesome. You know, like, records back then, you could put song one and every song was just a banger.
Yeah.
And like, I don't know. They just, people don't, I don't know. They were just putting out whatever they want nowadays, I guess. But man, that record, like, it changed my mind. Like, cause there was like harmonies, there was a rock band, there was these really great rhythms, there was horn section. It was a bunch of different cool stuff. And so, like, and I was in band too, mm-hmm, growing up. So, like, I played trumpet, I played the baritone, I taught myself guitar anyway, but yeah, that's kind of like, there's stuff like that I would say were pretty influential as a young person, kind of, well, trying to,
isn't it, I've, interesting how just by chance that ends up in your hands and then ends up being such a strong part of what you're doing today.
Yeah, I think rhythmically that's really like, so like I remember having like an old chair, and it didn't have the back, it just had the seat, mm-hmm, in the house, and somehow I got a pair of drumsticks. I think I know what it was. So my grandparents used to clean the Coliseum, the Live Oak County Coliseum, and they had every year they had the fair, and they'd have a band play, And so we'd clean up afterwards. So I'd found some drumsticks. I mean, I'm a sheltered kid. And like my grandparents didn't take me to the movies. They didn't do no, I didn't do none of that shit. I didn't do none of that stuff. You know what? When I was 11, for fun, I read the 1979 edition of the encyclopedia. That's
Oh my
what
goodness.
I didn't have nothing else to do. We didn't have internet. It was just like, I mean, we didn't have nothing really. Like my grandparents worked for everything they had and gave me whatever they could, you know. So pretty sheltered kid. So I got a pair of drumsticks, and I remember doing the drums on this seat. I destroyed it, you know, over time. Because it was like cheap vinyl seat, you know, and I would play the drums and I'd do the snare part to like the corn blind. It's like
Ooh,
tsk, you know, and I would just do that over and over again. And like I feel like rhythm has always been a really strong foundation for me. And I feel like when I play or when I write songs, if you listen to a lot of our stuff, there is some pretty cool little rhythm things, stops, whether it's a 4-4 going into a 6-8, or like there's just stuff like that I think is really cool and that you can do live, and it makes the music interesting. And like all of our songs that we have out are kind of like maybe they're a little more pop, maybe they're more country rock, maybe they're more traditional country. There's just something for like everybody, in my opinion, or maybe it's a ballad. So like that's kind of like, and that's the fun part about music for me, is that kind of, you know, that arrangement, or you know what, how you're gonna, you know, build that song and stuff. And so just try to have fun with it, and you know, I don't know, and then they take a lot of influences from like, you know, the like Tejano,
sure.
the Texas country, you know, the traditional country, rock. I mean, I had every System of a Down CD, I had every Korn CD, I listen to that, and then I'd have, you know, all George Strait 50 number ones, you know what I mean? So
Yeah.
just grew up listening to all of it, and
Well, I
that
think
was
that's
like,
one of the things that we've really enjoyed about your music is there is something for everybody. In there, you really touch on, and it's unique. It's a unique sound to you, but you can feel a little bit of really everything that we like to listen to.
thanks, man.
But hey, the first one that we've got queued up for you is "She's My Home." Tell us a little bit about the backstory on this song.
Well, me and my bass player and my good buddy, Mr. Isaac Jacob, if you get a chance to reach out to him, that's the best voice in Texas, in my opinion, and
All
nobody
right.
knows it. So, you know, good luck getting that out there, but he's awesome. So we're in Nashville, and I hadn't been to Nashville. I just got back from Nashville last week, but until then, it'd been like 3 years since I'd been there. And I mean, I used to go and park my van out front of the local, and I'd sleep in the van there, and I'd just play shows where I could, and jump into riders rounds and just try to meet people. And I would say that we were in Nashville, and it was kind of 2020. Everybody remembers
Oh
the COVID
yeah.
stuff.
Yeah.
So what the bars, what they were doing is like 10 o'clock, 11 o'clock, they would close the bar. And then like a 2 weeks would go by and be like, okay, we're gonna close at 11. It's like if COVID had a curfew, and like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
And COVID
Yeah,
is like, are you
exactly.
kidding me? You know, it's like, yeah, if you stay out past 10, you're gonna get sick. So
Funny.
you know, and not and and a lot of, I mean, and not to, I know I make light of COVID. COVID is a very serious thing for a lot of people, and so trying to be lighthearted about it,
You
obviously,
bet.
to still want to respect the people and all the hard times they had to deal with that, because that's definitely no joke either.
Yeah.
But so we're in Nashville, and we're at a bar. It's called the Bell Court Taps, and I think her name was Rose. She's the owner, and I don't know if she's still the owner, but our friend gets us set up with a rider's round. So me and Isaac play, and it's crazy because they have a plastic sheet in front of the stage. So you're like in a plastic box, you know. They're like, all right, hey, whatever we can do to be safe and play music, you know, people still want to hear music, so let's do that. And then at 10 o'clock, they had to shut the bar down. Well, Rose like kicked everybody out that was like a patron, and she let the songwriters hang out, and you know, and was pouring drinks and stuff. And I was like, hey, I got two guitars in my van. Let me go grab them. So I went and grabbed them. And I told Rose, I said, you got to hear Isaac play. And so he played a cover of Dan Seals, Everything That Glitters Is Not Gold.
Mm-hmm.
And it's stupid. It'll make your hair grow in the back of your neck. Yeah. It's not. So he does that. And she's like, oh my God, that was incredible. And I'm like, yeah, how special is that? You know? And there is this like beautiful blonde girl at the bar, not a singer. She's just like, just there. Anyway, I was like, man, I started thinking to myself. Anyway, I ended up talking for a little, sorry, I dropped my cup. We ended up talking there for a little bit. And I ended up taking her and dropping her off at her their Airbnb or whatever. So she was in town for a bachelorette party, but she liked music. So she's like, I'm going to go see the music stuff. So anyway, we ended up chatting and stuff and just got exchanged contact information and kind of stayed in touch. And on the drive home, I was like, man, dude, if I could take that girl on a date, I'll quit smoking cigarettes. That's what I was thinking. So I had this idea in my head. And then one day I just like, you know, wrote it down and I called my buddy Hunter Hathcote and I was like, hey man, I got this song. And he's like, man, that's a pretty good song. He's like, but I don't, and Hunter Hathcote's another great artist and songwriter. He's like, man, I just don't understand that cigarettes part, you know, like you just met and you're, you know, quitting cigarettes. I was like, I don't know. It's like, I did just meet her and I'm thinking about quitting smoking. So it's a big deal.
That's pretty and serious.
Anyway, so I wrote this song and then I sent it to him and he's like, yeah, dude, you should. And he sent it back and he's like, hey, you should do this or whatever. So, he kind of helped me with the arrangement and, I believe he did. It's been a while, long time, been 20, like, I mean, it's been 4 years. So mm-hmm. Yeah, then, I got it done. And then, I think it was 21 or 20, was it 21? We released it. I don't, November of 21. I think, I don't know. It's been a while. So we recorded it in Springfield, Missouri at, who's that guy from the Ozark Mountain Daredevils? What's his name? Nick Sibley. Sibley. Nick
okay.
Sibley.
Oh, okay.
Studio, right? And Paul Carabello produced it, and Paul plays guitar for the Ataris.
All right.
Oh. Kind of crazy. So anyway, went in there, and I mean, live drums, big room. It's awesome. And had a lot of fun doing it. It took us about 3 or 4 days of recording and then we got it, you know, I think Paul did the mixing and the mastering too. And it's been our most successful song. It got us up to 15,000 monthly listeners at one point. And
all right.
Yeah, all right. So yeah, great tune. And
well, our folks are gonna find out why. This is Chuck Brisano's She's My Home.
We just met. She said, once in a lifetime, girl, you don't forget. Settle down and quit smoking cigarettes. Even better yet, I just pull you in a little tighter, hold you to the morning. Top of her lungs, every country song. When the whiskey's gone, I just pull you in a little tighter, hold you to the morning comes. You make life on earth is so much brighter. Don't know how I made it so far. You make life on earth is so much brighter. Don't know how I made it so far. Alone, I just pull you in a little tighter. Hold you to the morning comes. You make life on earth is so much brighter.
Yes, that's She's My Home from Chuck Briseño. And what a great tune and such a catch. I mean, it's, and especially knowing what it was behind that, you can just picture all that. I mean, I've got the music video playing in my mind while that's, you know, while that's playing. That's a great tune.
And I would like to know, does she know that you wrote that song about her?
Oh, I think so, yeah. Yeah.
She does? Okay.
Yeah, I mean, she's so, yeah, she's a friend. I mean, she's a friend. I haven't talked to her in a while, but we went and got to go hang out and visit with her. She lives in Dallas. We were playing down in Deep Ellum, not long after that. But, you know, as things go, you know, you just kind of, you meet people and you have these stories. And, I mean, it's just like, yeah, I watch a lot of Hallmark movies, so like, that's kind of like, you know, hey, She's My Home is like right on par. Like,
there you go.
I'm waiting for my next Hallmark movie, I'm waiting for a Hallmark movie to put that in the song or in the story or whatever, you know.
That's what we need.
That would be great. I'll take the royalties from that, you know.
There you go.
Come on now.
All righty. We're going to take a quick little break. We are going to come back with Chuck Briseño, and we're going to talk a little bit about how these songs go together. We'll be right back.
Hey, see, Willie, do you know about the Girls' Night Out?
Girls' Night Out? Are you talking about the benefit concert that's happening at the Westtown Theater on October 18th? It's at 611 East Midland Street, Bay City, Michigan. Oh, my goodness, we want you to be there. Westtown Theater, historic place, great stage, and even better performers. Leah Williams is opening things up. Shade Zero, that's Blue Sky Riley's band, they're coming up next. And, oh, wow, I can't wait for this. Glenn Brook and the Wild Weeds are headlining. They're going to do a bang-up job for us. We're looking forward to this. Tickets are available at Eventbrite for just $10 in advance. $15 at the door. We've got a basket raffle. All the proceeds this night are going to the American Cancer Society. So here we are in Breast Cancer Awareness Month. Let's support the American Cancer Society and get rid of this awful disease. And we can do it at Girls Night Out. Meet us there on October 18th. Welcome back to the Vehicle City Sound Podcast. We are here with Chuck Briseño. And Chuck, we just heard She's My Home. We've got a couple of great ones queued up here. How do you, what's the creative process look like for you when you're writing a song? Is it the same every time? Is it something that just when the inspiration hits you? What is the magic when you're putting together your music?
Well, I just kind of like, just happens. I don't know, like get an idea and I try to hold on to it. Maybe I'll hear a melody and I'll try to remember that or work on it. Or if I can stop what I'm doing, and it just kind of comes out of nowhere. I don't know how to explain that. I've only really ever tried to write a song with someone, 3 different times. The first time didn't get anywhere really. The second time got somewhere, pretty good, but got a good start. And then the third one, I just last week in Nashville, I wrote a song with a British gal named Zoe, that was pretty good. I kind of like poked and prodded and tried to get to know her and let her kind of drive the ship on it, but and kind of make it to where she could really take ownership of it. And I added a couple lines in there, but Pretty fun. That was a pretty fun experience. Took like 6 hours, to write something. And I mean, it takes a while. I mean, I have no experience co-writing, really. Just those 3 times. And maybe there's another couple times with my buddy Hunter, like he might have sent me something and I would have added to it, but not like sitting in the same room trying to write it at the same time. You know what I mean? But everything else has just kind of been like, just it's just happened. I
It's
sit
you.
here in this office or like, yeah, I mean, I've even written songs on the road, like just on my phone, like without a guitar. I've written songs in an office when I was in the army. I mean, I wrote Folded Flag just sitting at the desk with no guitar or nothing. And then when I got home, it was such a, so ingrained in my head that I put the guitar to it,
Well, and you mentioned your service in the Army. You served in the 173rd Airborne in Afghanistan. And thank you so much for what you did. We appreciate that.
That's a we could do a whole podcast on that, dude. They made
Has
a there's a
that influenced the sorts of things that you're writing? Is that
I think
experienced?
maybe it's influenced my insanity to play music.
There you go. There you go.
I have a I'll make that I'll talk about that and keep it pretty short, but basically, I was an enlisted guy. I started with like an E1, no rank at all. I went to Germany, airborne school, which was not planned. And I didn't want to do that. I didn't sign up for that, but I did it anyway. And then obviously Afghanistan. And during that deployment, there was a documentary that was made. It's called Restrepo. And Sebastian Junger did it. He did the movie The Perfect Storm. And there was also another man by the name of Tim Hetherington, who's a photojournalist. And Tim was killed in Libya in 2011, doing the same thing he was doing in Afghanistan. So, but I got to have dinner with him and stuff a few years later because during that Afghanistan deployment, I applied to West Point, and I even took my SATs in Afghanistan. And I'm probably the only person to ever do that. I don't never heard
I
of
was like,
anybody
wow.
else do that. And then Extreme Education. Welcome to your Extreme Education podcast. So did that. I took actually took the SAT and the ACT back to back. And then I got accepted and went to they flew me directly from Afghanistan to Germany, grab my bags and my truck, and I went straight to New York. And I was a cadet and did 4 years there, got graduated, became an officer. I did 6 years as an officer. I was a tank commander and an engineer, got my master's degree in civil engineering. And then I got out in 2018. That's when I was like, kind of, where do my, I wanted to do music. That was kind of like the thing, but I needed a transition job, with my education. So I went to Maryland and did a corporate job for a year and a half or so, a little longer. And then that's when I was, moved back to Missouri. I had a band here and I was like, hey, let's do this full time. So that's kind of how that all kind of came together. But during that deployment, I will say, a big part of my, the desire to continue or to like a calling, maybe you could say, is, our Gold Star families. I'm familiar with I don't know if you're familiar with what a Gold Star family
Very
is.
much so.
But there's a lot of spouses and family members that have lost their loved ones because they've given the ultimate sacrifice for their country. And in my unit, we had 43 paratroopers that were killed in action. So it was a really that was a really rough deployment for a lot of people. And a lot of it was a rough one. And so I think that a big part of that, and even now today, we still have a lot of suicides and stuff. So like the 22 a day thing is a big deal. And so we try to stay in touch. I have My bass player is an Iraq war veteran. Our new drummer coming in was in the Marines. So, and even my little brother, he plays with us sparingly, but he was in the Army too. So like, I like to support that. And we've done events like for Legacies Alive. We did the Army Navy game last year. Super. And, you know, it's 250 Gold Star families out there. And so like I like to be a big, I guess, proponent or to well, talk about that and let people know to have that. And like, I'm not scared to talk about some of those experiences. I think it's healthy to kind of get it out there and let people, other people know, like, hey, like, you don't need to let that firefight or that rocket attack or the time you had to defend yourself or save your buddies to define you. You know what I mean? You could definitely come back to real life. And this is like living here and doing this is not, you know, nobody's hunting you down. And unfortunately, in a lot of cases, especially for the guys that I served with on the front line, Afghanistan, you were being hunted all the time, or you were the one hunting people. I mean, you got to think about that. Hunting people, like, that's pretty insane to think about, but that was your job, you know? Yep. And so, I feel like there's a calling for me. So like we do that song a lot, Folded Flag, and I probably could have sent y'all that song too. But maybe for another time.
There you go. Well, we appreciate it. We're a military family as well. At least half of us, a quarter peep is a Marine. So we're, we can relate. We understand. And we really sincerely appreciate what you did.
Yes, sir.
Well, the next one that we've got up here is Live Oak County. I love this song. Give us a little bit of the background on Live Oak County.
Well, this song is unreleased. It All comes right. out in 2 weeks. So All you guys right. have it first.
That is awesome.
I haven't
Thank
sent
you.
It to anybody. I probably should start sending it to people. Live Oak County is a song I wrote on my back porch out here. I mean, the sky was red, man. I don't know. I looked up and I was like, wow, that's a red sky. And, and I was like, man, you know, I miss home. I wonder what my grandma's doing. I should probably go home and see what she's doing. And so I came into the office. I wrote it like that. It didn't take long. And it was just a song about like, you know, you ever like, I don't know if you've ever had this experience, but like, I haven't lived and home and since I left for the Army. And every time I came home from when I was in the Army, I would just like, I could get in trouble. Like of all the crazy things that was waiting, all my friends like, hey, let's go do this or let's go back roading. And I'm like, well, I can't really do that anymore. You know, I can't smoke that kind of cigarette. I'll get in trouble. I was just like, I felt like the devil was just waiting on me to make a mistake again. So, that's what that song's about. It's just kind of like going home and being like, hey, you know,
here's kind of
worried about that temptation. Yeah. And then like, but also like my grandma's there too. So like, I feel like it's a kind of coming of age, going home kind of song. And, but the reason I said lights over Live Oak County looks like it's on fire is because when you're driving home, there's a power plant, a gas plant there in Three Rivers, which is our like rival town. Mm-hmm. And even when you're out back roading or even you're driving in from San Antonio, you can see the big flames from the plant. And it just looked the whole thing, the whole sky is red there. It just looks like the town's on fire always.
Yeah.
I'm like, oh, that's just, I'm going back to hell. What's going on? So that's kind of where that came from, I All guess. Right. I guess you'd have to see it to understand it. But yeah, no, it's a good song.
I can relate. Hey, let's give this one a listen. This is Live Oak County.
The night sky was red over Springfield, Missouri. I said I better get home before Mama gets worried. So I set off for Texas. Right in a hurry, don't worry about me, I'll be home soon. Chasing the highways, rolling through town, trying to beat that old sunset before it goes down. I ain't had a cigarette in a few days. Think it's time to give in to my selfish ways. But the light's over Live Oak County. It seems like the devil is waiting for me. I can't come back home, so no, he'll be there burning the town for the whole world to see. Off an exit at 889. These collegiate back roads will help kill the time. I just wait till the sunrise opens my eyes. It reminds me of something that's lost in my mind. But the light's over Live Oak County. It seems like the devil waiting for me. I can't come back home, cause I know he'll be there burning the town for the whole world to see. It seems like the devil is waiting for me. I can't come back home, so no, he'll be there burning the town for the whole world to see. Yeah, the light's over Live Oak County. It seems like the devil is waiting for me. I can't come back home, so no.
Chuck Briseno's Live Oak County, and I feel that I you know, as you explained a little bit about the song before we listened to it, and then you listen to that with that perspective, I think there are a lot of us that have felt that way. If you've gone away for a little bit and you come back and, hey, we're going to go right back to the way it was the day I left, and because that's what you remember. And it is that coming of age, that maturity that says, no, I can't do that anymore. I've got to be me now. I've got other things that I'm responsible for.
Yeah. I mean, it's a great song. I mean, and a lot of my friends back home love that. Cause I mean, Live Oak County is where we all grew up. And like, it's like, I turn off an exit at 889, like everybody from my hometown, which is, you know, small town, but they all know what 889 is, you know,
yeah.
Middle Road and all these other things that, you know, I try to hint to in the songs and stuff. And,
well, we really appreciate you letting us hear it first here. Yeah. Thank you so much for sharing that.
That's a Muscle Shoals recording, too. That's where we've been kind of recording, and that's been a great experience. So that's not the first song to come out of Muscle Shoals. I think it might be the second song of ours. And there's a bunch on deck. There's like 9 songs on deck there that just got to get finished
and
mixed and mastered. So, yeah.
We're looking forward to hearing those.
Yeah,
so you got some big things coming up now. And before we flipped the switch and started recording tonight, you were telling us a little bit about tour and what tour means to you and to your band. And you're getting ready to head out. In fact, as soon as we are done tonight, you're hopping in a vehicle and getting on your way. Tell us a little bit about what this means. What's the difference between tour as we're used to talking about it and what it is to you and your band?
Well, I mean, so we all know you're going to play a show. For me, I think I want to play as much as possible. Right. And so this year we've, I mean, we're probably going to end the year with like 170 shows or something like that.
Wow.
And I think, and there's people out there doing way more than that. I mean, there's so many, like, I don't know if you've ever heard of Dallas Moore. That guy is the king of the road, in my opinion. We done three tours this year, 60 days each at a minimum. And the tours is like, you're not home. You know what I mean? You're like, you're on the road. You're away. I mean, it's almost like being on deployment, you know? I mean, just not the danger of getting shot at. Well, depending what part of the country you go to. So
where you're playing. You know what I mean? Come on up here to Flint.
Yeah. So, you know what I mean? So, like, I mean, so our tours have been about 60 days each. We just finished an 81-day tour. And so, you know, those get hard. And the Friday and Saturday, the last week in a tour, Friday night, right before the show, our guitar player slipped and fell down some stairs and broke his elbow and his wrist and places. Still played the show that night, which is pretty rock and roll of him.
Wow.
He didn't know it was all busted like that, but the Saturday we had to do without him, and that was pretty rough. But he's healing up now, and we've just been having to find filling guitar players. But luckily, what I would consider our tour stuff is all pretty much done. And we do like some weekend stuff. Like this weekend, we're going to Wisconsin and Iowa. Next weekend, we're going to Ogallala, Nebraska. The weekend after that, we're playing Green Hall. And the weekend, and then going to Idaho from there, which is crazy.
Okay.
But a lot of stuff is just weekend stuff. We're even going out to Whitefish, Montana for a weekend and just coming back. Yeah, because like, especially with Cameron hurt, you know, it's hard for me to like hire a guitar player that isn't normally a touring guitar player to learn the set and then be gone on the road. Because when we go out there, we might have 2 or 3 days off. It gets expensive.
Oh, sure.
Having somebody out. And this weekend we hired Kevin Ray. He is a guitar player in the Charlie Daniels Legends band. Ooh, so we're just lucky. We're lucky he's even available. But they have a lull in their schedule, and he likes making money. And I'm like, well,
there you go.
Don't take all of my money, but I'll give you what I can. he was pretty cool, you know, about it. And a lot of the Nashville guys, like this last week, you know, I spent a week in Nashville. I recorded my first Nashville song. It's called Heartache to My Tears with Kent Wells. And Kent Wells is the producer for Dolly Parton. And like, that's her producer for many, many years. So like the recommendations like, they know Kevin Ray, and they're like, hey, he's going to do a great job and it's going to be a lot of fun. And so I'm just like, all right, man, you know, like you're jumping in a van with like, some like late, like 30 to 40 year olds. This guy's probably like 50 something years old. And like, like you're just going to get in an old van with us. All right. You know, hey, if you want to reminisce from the old days,
there's going to be some stories to come out of this.
I was like, you know, I was excited to learn from him. He just texted me right now asking about a song. So I'm like, oh, okay. But, you know, I think the touring stuff, like, you got to start somewhere. And a lot of guys that they'll say, hey, here's our tour dates, especially a lot of like Texas artists. And it's like they're doing Thursday, Friday, Saturday, or just all the Fridays and Saturdays in a month. And it's like, well, I don't really consider that a tour, man. I mean, like,
I get the hustle
of working 5 days of, you know, you're working 4 days, 5 days a week, and you got to go out Friday, Saturday and do your thing and make it. And everybody's got to do that. But I like, there's another aspect that comes with what my band does is my band doesn't have jobs. Like we go out and we have to play. So like when you have to play to pay the bills, that puts a whole nother perspective and a whole nother spin on what you do on your shows. because I feel like it just makes you like it, maybe not at first. Like at first it's like, oh, it's a lot of fun. And then after a while you're like, wait, this kind of sucks. And then you're like, wait a minute. Like you go through the five stages of grief, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
With it. And you're like, well, I can't believe I'm here. What am I doing here? And you like lose your mind a little bit. You're like, why am I doing this? Why am I torturing myself? Wait, maybe I like torturing myself. And then you're like, it's like when you find those guys that got that road dog in them, like you gotta like, I mean, it may not be what exactly you had envisioned in your mind, but it is, it's going to be what it should be. And so like, if you got to have loyalty, you got to have trust, and those things are hard to develop. And like when you can spend 3 months in a van with, you know, five people, you get to learn about each other. I've had the same band members for at least 3 years.
There you go.
You know, so like we're like family, you know, and like two of them live here in this house with me. Yeah, my bass players live with me for like, well, he's lived here for like 5 years. He's been with me for 5 years, and my drummer's been with me for 3 years, you know, and he lives here. And then our keyboard player, we just hired a keyboard player, and he just did his tour with us, was when this last tour started back in June. So like, I mean, it's been nonstop the whole year. I mean, we have a couple weekends off coming up in the last quarter of the year, but I mean, I run it like a business, you know, like yeah. I'm lucky to have had a great education from West Point and Norwich universities, where I got my master's in civil engineering construction management, in which they help learn how to run a construction company. So like structuring it like, hey, here's my accounts payable or whatever, you know, like making sure all that stuff is structured correctly. And to where I can be like, hey, I can pay you guys $26,000 to $30,000 a year. So yeah, you don't want to work at a gas station and you want to travel the world to play music. All right. Well, you can do this and then we'll see what happens if something, and I really work hard to like build connections and work with people. And, you know, I'm just, you know, there's some people that I'm working with now that is like, you know, we're building something. I think that's going to be really cool. And with people that have actual network connections in the music scene and the industry that believe in you and can really help you go to the next stage of your career if you want to do that. And I think that, you know, a lot of people go to Nashville and all this, well, the business is in Nashville, in no doubt about it. And having spent a week in Nashville, I'll tell you that the business is there. And so not to be religious, so is the devil. He's waiting on you to screw up over there too. So like, you know, everybody's just kind of like trying to figure it out and they're trying to work hard. And I think the reality is if you keep your nose clean and not become an alcoholic, which, you know, our drummer quit drinking, which is great. And then, like he's sober. And I quit for like 3 or 4 months but I'm never really was a drinker that much. You know, I never really do that. But if you can stay sober and you can save your money and you can go out and you could really do some special stuff, and people that believe in you, they will show up for you. I mean, they really will. And I just, you know, I'm just blessed to have some of the friends that I do. And I mean, I'm a Texas artist, but I'm not in that Texas circuit. I mean, there are a lot of other Texas artists that get the pick of what they want way before I do. I don't even get considered in that. But everything that, I mean, it's kind of crazy, but not because I don't live there.
Yeah.
And I know if I lived in Dallas, which is, it's just all about location, right? Like, hey, I have a Texas driver's license. You know, I grew up listening to all that stuff. I mean, we play Charlie Robeson songs in our show, but like, we just don't get considered part of that. I mean, we got in 2 weeks when that song gets released is our first show at Green Hall, and Green Hall is the oldest dance hall in Texas. It's a big deal. And there's a band out of, I think it's out of Michigan, Kinfo.
Kinfo. We know them.
Yeah.
We know them
and
well.
Yeah. Great friends, you know? Yeah. And they're not from Texas, but they get treated more like Texas artists that probably than I ever will.
Mm.
And it's just, you don't know how it goes. You know what I mean?
Don't.
And he lives in San Antonio area, but like, it just, hey, you know, he moved there. That's where he is, you know, and And I think the main reason I'm in the Midwest is because I'm 7 hours from Nashville. I'm 7 hours from Dallas, Fort Worth. Yeah. I'm 8 hours from Minneapolis, St. Paul. I can be in Denver in 11 hours. Yeah. You know, so like it's convenient. I'm in the middle. In the middle of everything, you know. So logistically, it makes sense for me to be here. But
Chuck, there's a lot of folks that are going to want to see you. There's a lot of folks that are going to want to know how to find you. Where's the best place? You've got an amazing website. Tell us where folks can find you.
Yeah, so, I mean, our website's chuckbrusino.com. But on Instagram, there's a link there that takes you to everything. And the website has links to everything, too. I mean, obviously, all the streaming services. One of the places that's unique to where... Excuse me. Unique to where our music can be found is AMI Jukebox. So okay. We got like four or five songs on there. And so that's a pretty cool deal. I mean, it's not Touch Tunes. It's like, but you know, AMI is all over the place too. So
absolutely.
So yeah, we're pretty awesome to have that there. And bands in town. I encourage bands in town all the time, because that's the easiest way to see the people that you love, not, you know, not even just us too, but it's like connects to your location and who you listen to. And then like, you're just like, oh, what? I'm going to go see that. You know, it's pretty neat.
Exactly.
The hard part with being an independent artist is that you have to spoon feed people your music, like in a silver platter, you know, you have to like do everything. A lot of the artists that have made it, you know, like a Morgan Wallen, for example, he doesn't really have to do that. He could just do whatever he wants to, and it's going to be great. It's going to be, it's like, if you put on a George Strait concert in the middle of a field, you can make like one phone call about that or whatever. Like, it's just going to organically do its thing.
Yeah.
So like for us independent artists, you have to really work hard at it, and you have to shake everybody's hand, and you have to look them in the eye and tell them how much you love it, and convince them. I tell almost every show, not every show, but most of the shows, I'll tell people, hey, this is like a first date. I got to earn your trust. You might not even remember my name when we're done, you know, but that's how I treat our shows, you know, like I try to, you know, relate to people. And I think that, you know, that storytelling is a big part of it. And that grit, you know, that, you know, your focus, your energy. And the cool thing about our show is like, I carry full production. I've got a light show. I got light towers. I got a video wall that's programmed. And there's a lot of independent guys that don't carry that stuff. You know, they just allow the venues. I mean, I even carry a full PA system. Because I don't know when the opportunity will strike to be like, hey, I just need to put on a show and use, all I need is power. It's turnkey. Yeah. We could do whatever, whenever. And I like having that availability. And a lot of people won't do that. And like even the shows that we play, whether it's a bar show, a private party, or it's whatever, like I take the risk and I'll play for $100 and we'll leave with $1,000 in merch sold, because I'm confident in what my band can do. And I'm confident in how we can interact with the crowd. And it's just, you got to take chances and risks, and I'm willing to play anywhere and for anyone, you know, whatever. And a lot of people aren't willing to do that. So like, they just, they want the 90 minutes and the 1,000 people. And I'm just like, I don't really care.
Well, and that's what we appreciate about what you're doing, what the artists that we have had the good fortune of having on the show here. And we hope that we're offering a platform where we're facilitating that handshake with a number of new people and that first date with a number of new suitors. So
that's the truth.
It very much is. I love the way you've phrased that. Now, the last one that we've got queued up, again, another fantastic tune. This is Mess Up Your Makeup. Quarter Peep is digging on some of the merch that you've got with this. You've got a couple of t-shirts there.
So Quarter Peep got paid today. So I'm getting the bar girl hat and the Mess Up Makeup t-shirt. That's super cute. So after the show, I'm going.
There's going to be a little merchandise going there.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'll make sure to set it aside. That's a good time to do that.
There you go.
I'm the guy that's got to do it. You know, there's nobody.
Hey,
it's the whole operation.
Hey,
get that shirt out of the box. You know, like, know. Ain't nobody listening to me.
Shirt sure off.
Yeah. Yeah, those are cool. Those are cool. The Bargo hat is really cool.
We like that a lot.
It's cool because the inside, it'll say Chuck Briseño, like this Flatline Cavalry one.
All right.
Then it'll say like Chuck Briseño here, and it's got a little tag on the back, like this one says the little FC.
Oh, super. So
ours is real similar. Ours is really similar to that. Okay. It's pretty
very cool.
Yeah.
Well, let's give this one a listen. This is Mess Up Your Makeup.
Oh, it's a fun. This is a Friday night kind of song.
There we go.
Jump in a truck, roll into town, quit one job to burn it down. She's gonna get dolled up boots on days that dudes will last as long, going out to party tonight. Two-step tequila shots, drinking in the parking lot, girl, you know I do it right. So when I'm in your mood, I just wanna mess up your name. Dressed up when all I want is to dress you down. I compromise in the neon lights as we're dancing around and around. She's gonna get dolled up boots on, Daisy Dukes, lashes long, going out to party tonight. Two-step tequila shots, drinking in the parking lot, girl, you know. She's gonna get dolled up boots on, Daisy Dukes and lashes long, going out to party tonight. Two step tequila shots, drinking in the parking lot. Girl, you know I do it right. Cause when I'm with you, I just wanna mess up your makeup.
Yes, messing up your makeup. And folks, you've got to watch this YouTube version because Chuck is helping us have a really good time with this one.
I got all my cool guys. Look at this guy.
He's got all the landmarks. Everything's there.
Oh, yeah, dude. Here's another one.
Yeah. Hey, Chuck Briseño, thank you so much for joining us tonight. This has been a really good time. We appreciate the stories. We appreciate the background you've given us, and we appreciate the hard work that you're putting in. And man, have a great time on this this trip to Wisconsin and Iowa. Have some fun with this.
Yeah, it's going to be, I think it'll be fun. I mean, literally, so today, just to give you an example, because I was like, hey, how's your week been? It's like, well, you know, our guitar player broke his elbow. And then I had to find guitar replacements like week of. And then a friend of ours that we play shows for in Lincoln, Nebraska, let me trade out my J45 for one of his J200s. And I took it to Nashville. And I played the Bluebird Cafe for the first time ever.
All right, good for you.
Incredible. That was incredible. And then recording a song, and then I got back. I flew back and went straight to shows. And then I had a little bit of a break this week. That's why you guys had hit me up about getting the songs. I was kind of laissez-faire about it, you know, but I've been.
Hey, you've got a few things going on, though.
If you could see my to-do list, you'd be like, oh, gosh. So, like, there's, you know, like, anyway, so like coordinating that and then just trying to get back to the, you know, the studio in Nashville, and then also trying to take care of my guys. Like today, so our guitar player wanted his truck back, so they drove it to Fayetteville, which is like 2 hours away. And I was like, hey guys, like, you know, you got to look at our Master Tour app, you know, and be like, you know, we're leaving at 9 o'clock tonight. And they're like, what? I thought you said midnight. I said, I mean, I know what I said, but you got to look at the app, dude. You know, like that's what it, so that kind of crunched their timeline a little bit. And then I had to go pick up a guitar amp because our guitar player took his amp with him.
Sure.
I'm like, oh man, I'm glad I didn't know that. So and when I got home, they're like, hey, well, I got to take the van to go pick the guys up in Fayetteville. I was like, okay, no problem. You know, that's a 4 hour round trip. You guys mm-hmm. will be back 2 hours before we got to leave. And I turned it on and I backed the van up to drop the trailer, and it's smoking under the hood.
Oh, like, no.
What is going on?
Oh, no.
So it wasn't a big deal. It was a broken coupler on a coolant hose, right?
Good.
So he's replacing that or got it replaced. Hopefully I got to go double check. And then like having this and then trying to do laundry. I don't even know. I should have time hopefully before we leave to do laundry. But like, I mean, literally my suitcase from Nashville is right here next to the guitar right over here. And I haven't even opened it up since I got back. And so there's just like, it's just been that kind of a week, you know.
Gotcha,
and
man.
Getting everything kind of cleaned up here. And because you're gone for 80 days, like there's like spiders and there's a dead mouse and a mouse trap in my room. Like, and I don't really have a room.
We
I have an
it.
Office that I live. I live in my office. That's
yeah,
where I live.
Yeah.
I literally have a futon right there. That's my
there
pillow.
You go.
This is my prison cell.
Well,
okay.
this is folks, this is what the glamorous life is all about.
Well, you know, one day maybe I'll have a tour bus one day.
There you
That'd
go.
Nice.
There you go. We need to see that one too then.
No, but that's just kind of a little bit of insight in the daily.
Oh, we love
life
it and we appreciate it. We appreciate it.
No, I appreciate you guys sticking with me and working with me and getting those songs in, and you know, definitely check us out. Check out Isaac Jacob and Hunter Hathcote, two good friends of mine that do music. They're really, 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 really great. And I really hope that you guys have a lot of success with this and keep doing it. And you know, I just wish you guys the best too. You know, everybody's just trying to be a part of something special. And
we appreciate that a lot.
You can't do it by yourself. You got to have other people that believe in you to do that. So.
Hey, Quarter Peep, who do we have coming up next?
Yes, so we have a Charlie Ramsey.
All right, we're looking forward to that. Chuck, we really appreciate you being a part of this tonight. Appreciate your music, appreciate the stories that you've told, and we certainly wish you luck on this venture now, and we hope to see you on the big stage here soon.
I appreciate that, bro. Thank you.
All right. Hey, folks, I think we got a wrap on tonight's show. Thank you so much for all your support. We appreciate it. If you know folks more like Chuck that you'd like us to have on the show, please drop us a note at our email. That's vehiclecitysound@gmail.com. You want to know where we're going to be and what we got going on and who else is joining the show on the screen there. You check us out at vehiclecitysound.com. Hey, man, thank you so much. Chuck, thanks for joining us. And everybody, be good.
Yeah. Awesome.